Father, we love you. We magnify you and glorify you. You're worthy of all praise and glory. We love you. We worship you. We worship you. Thank you for the presence of God in this place. Strengthen us to encourage us. Father, we thank you that you believe in us. Even when we've given up, you never gave up on us. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for standing with us and walking with us through our struggles and our trials, our tests. Thank you, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you, Father. Boy, sweet presence here. I better watch out. I may just stay here, the presence of God, all the time. Then people are going to want to come and sit in the presence of God. Thank you, Father. You might have to fight for your seat. Who are you? I'm new here. Well, that's my seat. You don't know this. I've been here for 20 years. You can have my seat. Thank you, Jesus. You know when you come to the end of yourself? Maybe you're in a situation and you're at the end. It's really not the end of yourself. It's the end of your flesh. Your flesh's ability to fix things or make things happen. The devil will make sure that you choose if you want revival. You have to choose that you want revival. I'll say that again. If you have chosen that you want to walk it out to revival, the devil will make sure you meant it. Because the price that's being paid to walk into revival, you have to walk through things. And you have to decide that there's no other path than the one that God's given to me. I don't have a plan B, plan C. How many of you have been there where you wonder where your plan B went to? I used to have a plan B. And it's the safest place to be with God where you don't have another plan. It's not the safest place to feel safe. But there's something about Him if you let Him. If you let Him take you there, it's a place where you are safe because of Him. Not because of circumstances, not because of plan C or B, but because He's all you have. I remember when I went through my first few struggles, I thought, oh, okay, I'll win a fight or two, and then I'll get a little break. And then I'll have another fight, and then I'll get a break. But the break never came. It's like one thing after another. And the enemy's only power over us is through our flesh, through our natural thinking, through our natural man. It's his only power, is to get us to yield to him, is to get us to agree that the price is too much for me to pay, that I'll never make it, I'll never succeed. The dreams and the visions and the calling that I've seen on my life, it's never going to happen. And the process that God takes you through is where you let go of the power in your hands to make your dreams come to pass. You let go of it. You have to let Him go. You hold on to the dream that that's where I'll be one day, but you let go of your own power to make it happen. So much pride. We can have so much pride when God does things for us. Look what I caused. Look what I did. Look what I've accomplished. God's on me. God's blessing me. There's that place of humility where we can say, I don't deserve any of this. Now, don't get me wrong. Because there are things that you have to do. How many know that God's asked you to do things you didn't want to do? Maybe let go of things that you really didn't want to let go of. What if you didn't do that? What if you said, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to do what I want. See, you and I still have to do things. But it's not to earn anything. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15. We'll start in verse 8. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. This is the Apostle Paul talking about seeing Jesus. For I am the least of the apostles, whom not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Now, I remember reading this a few years ago, and I read those words, by the grace of God I am what I am, and I seen just for a split second how those words, there's a whole universe of understanding in I am what I am. And not too long ago, I was in Michigan. And I remember being in a hotel room, and I became aware of who I was all of a sudden. Now, I don't know if I can explain that, but all of a sudden, I was aware of who I was and who I was not. And you know, there's a torment on many believers when they're striving to be good enough for God. When they're striving to be accepted by God, doing enough, holy enough, righteous enough. You know, there's a torment on us that we're never good enough. That's why I don't have what I'm supposed to have. That's why I haven't received what I'm supposed to receive. That's why I'm not walking in what I'm supposed to be walking in. It's because I haven't accomplished enough. I haven't done enough. I remember first coming here and trying to calculate how many hours Pastor Dave prayed before God launched him in ministry. How many hours Pastor Dave must have prayed before he got his first airplane. How many hours, and then how many hours he had to pray before he got the born-again trail revelation. And I remember calculating these things in my mind and thinking, there's no way I'm ever going to get that. I mean, I can get there. I mean, I when I first heard Pastor Dave, and he said, if you just pray in tongues, it'll change you. I started, and 1993, or 1992 it was. So when I first started making it part of my life. And how many years will it take me to catch up? I thought, if I want to have what that man has, I'm going to have to do what that man does. If I want to walk in that, I have to practice that. But I was trying to calculate, how do I catch up to that? I mean, I'll be his age when I have those things. Maybe, you know, I started a little bit younger, but I'm still, you know, and some people I can imagine when you, at a certain age, you get hold of this message, you can think, I just started this and, you know, I only got 20 years left of my life. I'll never get there. He says, by the grace of God. See, God is not interested in you earning what you have. He just wants you to have it. He's not interested in making you prove that you purchased it. He just wants you to have it. But the other side of God is He is a Father. He will never, it's impossible for Him to give you something that's going to harm you. As much as He wants you to have things, if it's going to hurt you, He can't give it to you. We were up in Canada and my son and I were driving into my mom's subdivision. We were staying with them for 2 weeks. And as we pulled into the subdivision, we've been there for about a week already, he said, Daddy, can I drive the car? And I think he was 5 at the time. I said, no. And he started to unbuckle his seatbelt, which in Canada, you know, that's a big deal. So get your seatbelt on. Can I drive the car? No. I can drive. No, you can't. Yes, I can. Harrison, you can't drive the car. No, Daddy, I can drive the car. Harrison, this is a car. You cannot drive it. And he kept arguing with me. He said, yes, Daddy, Grandma's let me drive every day. And him and Grandma, because Grandma has told him, whenever you come to Grandma's house, you can do whatever you want. And they would go out. Grandma would take him out for an afternoon, and he'd come back with candy and loaded up. And I found out that when they would drive back into the subdivision, she would say, all right, Harrison, get on my lap. You can steer. I'll do the gas pedal. And he said, Daddy, I can drive. You use the gas. You do the pedal. I'll do the steering. But you got to keep your hands off like Grandma. As much as I love him, I'm not giving the keys to my car. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I became aware all of a sudden in that hotel room up in Michigan of who I really was. It was like I had an anchor, a standing with my Father that wasn't based on my works. You know, day to day, trying to appease Him, please Him, every day so that he approves of me that day. I have a standing with Him. I'm His child. I have authority, not because of what I've done, but who I am. I can receive from Him, not because of what I've done or what I do, but because of who I am. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. This is interesting. That word doesn't seem to fit with grace. Well, at least not the grace that's been taught for a while. I labored more abundantly than they all. I remember sitting over in the church and there was a few guys that were bigger than me. You know, if you ever want to look skinny, get around bigger people. So I felt pretty okay until they decided to lose weight. And I realized, wait a minute, I'm the bigger guy now. So I prayed, God, help me to lose this weight. And God told me, son, I give you my grace to lose that weight. Hallelujah. 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 Because, you know, I have clothes for fasting days and unfasting days, and I drive my wife crazy. I got a section of off-fasting clothes, a section of fasting clothes, and, you know, we're always scared to buy anything else. God, give me the grace. I want to jog in the morning. I want to eat healthy. I want to lose this weight. Then I can get into my non-fasting clothes or my fasting clothes without having to fast to get there. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. I receive that grace. Hallelujah. The next Sunday, I look over. I'm still bigger. I thought, well, God, where's your grace? You said you gave me grace to lose this weight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. But it's still on my belly. I receive your grace. Hallelujah. And every meal, I'd say grace over the meal. Turn the calories into no fat. The next week, it wasn't working. God's grace just wasn't working for me. That sounds funny, doesn't it? But that's how most people perceive grace. That grace received is a finished work. I receive His grace, it's done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And that idea of grace gives hope to a person. But I've seen hundreds of services where been in the middle where the preachers would get everyone excited and the goal was to get you emotionally lifted up to feel good about things. They said that was faith, but it wasn't faith because nothing changed tomorrow. It was just getting your emotions stirred up. See, grace is His strength. It's His power. It's Him. But you also have to labor with it. You have to let it be your strength to do what He's telling you to do. Grace is the strength. It's the empowerment, but you have to labor with it. The strength to do what God's telling you to do doesn't come from you. It has to come from Him or it will fail. When I was hitting my snooze button and trying not to go out jogging, when I was eating what I wasn't supposed to, see, grace was there for me to walk out what I wanted to, but I had to yield over to it and let it be my strength. And see, His grace is not for you to do what you want. His grace is for you to do what He wants. Paul says, I labored more abundantly. He's very honest. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now here he's not saying, I'm a mean son of a gun. And you say, hey, quit being a mean son of a gun. And you say, hey, I am what I am. That's not what he's saying. A better way, I think, to say this would say, I have become who I am by His grace. Toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly. I labored more abundantly. This life of serving God and following God is not about living your life for you and God being there to support you and embrace you and say, oh, you go. This life of serving God is a laying down your will, your life to Him every day. Over and over and over and over. And when you don't think you can do it anymore, He'll ask you for more. Lay your life down. Follow me. But I labor more abundantly than they all, but yet, not I. But the grace of God, which was with me. I labored more abundantly than them all, but yet not I. The grace of God, which was with me. When I was complaining about His grace not working in my life, it's because I wanted His grace to do the laboring and the strength. I just wanted to wake up and have it there. Ladies and gentlemen, that is, one lady gave a testimony of God doing things in her life, and I think in a service she lost 50 kilograms or something in one service is what her testimony was. I mean, just like right there in front of everyone. I wasn't there, but we heard that testimony. And I said, man, if I had that kind of constant miracle in my service, I'd be a busy preacher. Just advertise. The anointing of skinniness is on me. Now, for a love offering of... And I believe those miracles can happen. I'm not making fun of that. I believe those miracles can happen, but there's a better way, or the other way God wants to do it. It's like when I took Harrison to the park, and he was a little tiny, wanted to climb the rock wall at this park, and he got up to the first little thing, and he said, "Daddy, pick me up, put me over the wall." And I said, "Nope. Daddy, I'm afraid I'm going to fall." Harrison, you're like 2 inches off the ground. You're all right. "Daddy, please pick me up. Pick me up." "No. Just pick me up and put me over the wall." "No. But Daddy, I'm afraid I'm going to fall." I said, "Get down. I'm right here." I put my hand on his back. "You won't fall. You won't get hurt. I'm here. I promise." "Okay, okay. Now pick me up, Daddy." "No. You want to climb the wall, climb it. And I'm here to make sure you're safe. If you don't want to climb the wall, get down. But I am not doing it for you." And I remember, because he took forever to climb that wall. He was determined, and he complained the whole time. Every step, "Please pick me up." "No. I'm afraid to go any higher. We'll come down." And there's a lineup of kids behind us waiting to get on this wall. And I fought his little will till finally he climbed that wall all the way up to the top. And the whole way I had to remind him, "I'm right here. I'm right here, Harrison. I got you. I have my hand on his back." It was a pretty good wall, but he wasn't going to fall. I was going to make sure of it. When he finally got his little self over the wall, the first thing he did was turn around to see the daddy's pride smile, you know. It's like when he plays soccer, he's on the way to score a goal. Even before he tries to score, he looks over to the side to see if daddy's watching. See, grace doesn't pick you up and put you over the wall. Grace is your strength. It's the empowerment that you won't fail. You won't fall. But you have to labor with it. And I don't know, I'm sure many of you have felt that when grace starts to pull you into a direction that you don't want to go. It starts to ask you to kill something in your life that you don't want to kill. Or it starts to ask you to deal with something in your life. Or start something. Or do something. And grace is there trying to pull you along, saying, "Come on, you can do it. I'm not ready. I don't know. I'm not good enough. I'm not qualified enough." You know, 99% of the people in this world who accomplish stuff are not qualified for what they accomplish. That's just in the world. There are things for us from heaven That's the best way I can describe it. There are anointings and graces and beautiful, powerful things that God wants to release onto this earth through His people that can only come from heaven by His grace to those who are laboring with the grace. There's a favor if you're a businessman. You can wheel and deal and shuck and duck and do all those things, trying to make the right connection, make the right meet, do all those things. But if His grace is on you and you're laboring with that grace, you have a favor with you that you walk in a meeting and they don't know why they want to do business with you, but you're the one they're going to pick. Whatever your calling is, whatever He has for you, there's a grace that goes before you and with you to be a strength to you. But if you resist that grace, it won't go ahead of you and do it for you. Hope I'm preaching okay. Paul, who you might say was accomplice to murder, was in prison, was a religious bigot. The Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, understood how God's grace was His power to transform a man to a different person. See, whatever you struggle with, whatever you've gone through in your past, whatever you are going through, God's grace is enough to walk you through it if you allow it to lead you and you go with it. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. Now, that's a statement that's a little nerve-wracking to me. His grace towards me was not in vain. His grace towards me was not in vain. God has a grace for you, a strength, an empowerment. If you try to be strong on your own, the devil will make sure that it's too hard for you to finish your course because your flesh's ability will never be strong enough to survive the tests and trials that come with believing God and walking with God to a revival that changes the world. Our strength will never be enough for me to fulfill the plans and purposes of God for my life. There's only one way for me to do that: to submit to His grace, submit to His will, and hold on to Him and trust Him to lead my steps. God likes every church that believes in Jesus. Every church. He's pleased with 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. He likes every church. We don't want to make fun of the other church because they're making fun of us. So He likes every church. I remember getting up on Saturday to go and water trees, because we planted a bunch of trees to raise money to help with a girl's home and a boy's home. And we had a lot of street people and from a certain part of our town, and we were trying to do things to feed them and bring them in the church. And it was what we believed. It's all we had at the time. It's all I had. All the teaching I had was Let's go touch the world. So we were touching the world. We were making sandwiches and we were raising money. And you know what? That home's still going today, and I can't tell you how many people have been rescued and born again from that. I remember being in the emergency room when there was a man that I loved had a brain aneurysm, and I was in the emergency room with the family and in a little church. I didn't pray in tongues. Came in with sandwiches and hot chocolate and fed us, and I can tell you, I felt ministered to at that moment. I felt God's love through those little non-tongue-talking people. Because that's when I needed it. Well, we have an assignment here. It's our assignment. It's not a better assignment than any other church. It's just our assignment. Now, God didn't choose for another church not to have this assignment. They chose that. But He's happy with that. But our assignment, the devil doesn't like. And there's going to be tests and trials that we're going to have to go through. But His grace is enough. I found my strength in my courage. When I say my, I shouldn't say my. My flesh is strength. My flesh is courage. My flesh is holiness, you know. And it's a shame the world, when they think about Christians, they only think, oh, they're trying to get me to stop drinking and smoking. It's like, how do we ever get to that? You know, I'm here to tell you about Jesus. Hey, I'm not putting away my pack of cigarettes yet. You know, it's like, how do we ever get to that? It's like, no, it's okay. Half our people at church smoke. Come on. The message of Christ is love. It's a new family. The world, you don't tell the world to quit drinking. It doesn't no good to tell an alcoholic, hey, you need to quit drinking. You may save his liver, but you're not going to get him to heaven. We want him to quit drinking, but we want him to get saved first. I have found myself needing to yield over to His grace as my hope, as my strength, as my courage to do what He has asked me to do. And in that walk, and I can only preach from my experience, I can't preach from someone else's, there is a requirement. How do I say this? To walk in labor, to labor with the grace of God, has required me to submit to His will instead of my own. It's required me to abandon my ability to make my dreams come true. It's required me to abandon every other way but His way. And it's required me to make myself, stand where He's placed me and completely trust Him to be my source for everything. And there's no safer place to be. Let's go back in 1 Corinthians. Trying to find it real quick here where I want to go. I think it's in chapter 7. Let's go there. Verse 17. But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called. Now, I bring in the scripture up because you and I could try to get somewhere before we feel that we're qualified. We can try to achieve something, accomplish something, become someone. You know, when I do this, then God will pick me. When I've done this, then God will choose me. When I do this. What bothered me after I calculated Pastor Dave's prayer time, threw in a few fastings, long fastings, was when I do that, then I'm ready. God will tell you when you're ready. His grace will tell you when you're ready, because it's going to give you empowerment. When we say grace, you can't separate grace from God. It's Him. It's like the gifts. We try to add up all the gifts. You know, you see some preachers advertise and they say, Apostle so-and-so, miracle service, operates under the gifts, word of knowledge, gifts of miracles, prophecy. And then you start rubbing shoulders. Yeah, I have five gifts operating through me. I got two. I just got one. I love that. It's like, I don't understand that, but I love that. How do you separate the gifts? Are they just little presents that fall from heaven? They're Him. They're the Holy Spirit. They're all Him. You know, I remember one preacher, I operate in all the gifts. So I'm specially anointed. I decided I was going to be a Renaissance preacher. You know, it's me and the Holy Ghost. Someone needed the devil cast it out? I can do that. Someone needed a healing service? I can do that. Someone needed a prosperity guy? I can do that. Because it's the Holy Ghost. It's not specific gifts. He'll operate through you and your calling. Yeah, I understand that. But it's Him. You can't separate the gifts from the Holy Ghost. They're Him. They're saying this is how He operates, but it's really Him. You can't separate the grace from Him. It's Him. He'll lead you and guide you. He'll walk with you. He'll strengthen you. One of my complaints about believing God for things is if I go to a place where I choose what I'm believing God for. Now there's promises in the Word. For instance, there are churches that if you go to them, There are shiny new cars in the parking lot. There is not one bumper sticker. There is not one cracked windshield. They're all shiny. They're all foreign cars. And I'm not talking about Japanese either. We're talking about Germany, Italian. And they're shiny and clean. And in church, every outfit is immaculate, expensive. But if you go to their houses, 90% of those people are broke because of the payments on their car. Because they are embarrassed that if you don't have a nice car, you don't have faith. Because I'm a child of God, bless God, I should have the best of the best. So I receive it, and then I purchase it, and then I'm in debt over it. But I deserve it, I'm a child of God. One man was an entrepreneur, and he came and taught a bunch of people how to be entrepreneurs. And really, he put it to us like, you know, if you're broke for a minute, that's okay. But after a minute, you shouldn't be broke. You should have abundance. Now, here's how I did it. I went ahead and I bought houses and I did this and I made a bunch of money, and I'm going to sell you how to do that on my tape series on the back. How you too could walk in prosperity and wealth. Well, he shouldn't be teaching the church how to be prosperous. Because not everyone's called to be an entrepreneur. I'm not saying we're supposed to live in poverty or brokenness. I don't believe that. But I do believe whatever I do have, I want to come from God. And what he's told me to do. One church I went to believed everyone was a prophet. They had prophet school. They called me prophet. Prophet Allen. And they want me to prophesy over everybody. The problem was I couldn't do it. I couldn't make it up. And it was a cute little church too. It was a sweet, good people. This is the one where they had the dancing ladies in leotards. And they were all over their 20s times 2 and 3. And they hadn't received the grace yet on jogging. And before service started, during praise and worship, it was their job to come out in their prophetic leotards. And they were cute little grandmas, round little grandmas, and with tutus, and they danced before the Lord. And then there was a part of the service where you were supposed to dance before the Lord. And if you didn't dance before the Lord, they'd come get you. His grace will lead you and find you where you're at. See, that's where he finds you. Are you a slave and you found God when you were a slave, he says? Then you're okay. He'll, right there, let's start right where you are and let God lead you. You don't have to wait until you become unslaved, a free man, before he'll use you. If you can, that's great, but you don't have to. It's not required for you to become someone else. Where he found you is where he'll start leading you. And the moment he finds you, he'll lead you and guide your steps. His grace will be there. Maybe someone moved here to the prayer center and said, "Whew, I'm in the center of the target," like Gary says. "I think I'm supposed to move home." "Well, are you sure?" "Well, you know, on second thought, I don't believe God really told me to move here. Yeah, I was kind of just believing and trusting. Well, you know, he may not have, he may have, but the point is, you're here. So let's start here. Right now, in your life, at this moment, let's start here. This is the altar call right now. Because in all the struggles, and all the good choices and bad choices, and all the mistakes, and all the things you're going through, whatever reasoning the devil's using against you, all those things, let's put it to rest. Today, right now, at this moment, right now, I am in God's perfect will. And from this point, He will lead my steps, or His grace in Him can empower me and lead my steps to where He wants me to be. Don't ever run from a fight. You walk through fights. The devil builds up such a pressure, little pockets of pressure, you know, like a pinball machine, and you're walking along, you go bing, and the goal of it, that pocket of pressure, maybe it's persecution. Maybe it's lack of money. Maybe it's lack of attention or lack of love or whatever. You know what I'm talking about. You start following God and your family goes crazy. You're like, man, what's going on here? Bing, you hit this thing like a pinball machine. You whoosh, ding. And the goal of that pressure is to make you go the other way. And the moment you and I submit to fixing the pressure, I know how to fix this. I'll move home. Hallelujah. God woke me in the middle of the night, told me to move home. I know how to fix this. I'll get this job over here. I know how to fix this. I'll get this man over here. We hit these things and the pressure hits. And the goal of it is to create so much pressure in your life. You're not happy. You're not content. There's emotions. And it's right there. And if I just go this way, relief. You're not supposed to bounce off of that. You're supposed to walk through it. See, that's the test and trials that the devil places on the road to revival. And you and I have to walk through those things. Bing! And the moment you bing off of it and go the other direction, you now have control of your life and the grace that you've walked out of it and the power to labor through whatever the devil throws at you is back over there. And what you've done is you've let the devil train you. Hey, every time I don't like where Alan's going, I just create a big old pocket of pressure. And he'll hit it, ding, and he'll go another way. And he's trained you how to fix your life. But yet God's grace is abundant. It's all you need to obey it and walk through it. And I promise you, I don't like to say that. The Word promises you. I remember the Word promises you that you will walk through it if you don't run from it. And it may be only Him that you're holding on to, because He is all you have, because you're at the end of your strength. But He is all you need. I remember asking God about the apostles and why they all had to die except for John and be martyred, you know. And the Lord began to teach me out of the book of John how when they went to the cross, there was only one apostle that went to the cross, one disciple. That was John. The other disciples ran. Peter denied him three times. And the Lord said, This is what he spoke to my heart. I allow them to be martyrs at the end of their life because they failed to be a martyr at the beginning of their life. See, martyr, the word martyr means witness. John, the beloved, went to the cross with Jesus because he had already died in his heart. The other disciples had not given up their life yet. We need some more walking dead people. Martyred doesn't mean someone took your life. Martyred means you gave up your life. And so the disciples, the rest of them, I said, well, God, did you do that to stick it to them? You know, fail me at the cross, I'll get you. You know, yeah. And he said, no, I did that to honor them. I asked them to be martyrs to honor them, to allow them to face the fear that they failed to before and face it in their last days. Face death and win. See, the Apostle Peter faced death after he denied Jesus three times and ran from it. He faced it in his last days. He conquered that fear. You may have failed to 1,000 things, but you will win if you don't quit. God wants us to go to heaven and say, the devil, I beat him in everything. You mean you always won? No, but in the end, I beat him in everything. Everything, every trick he pulled on me to get me to move, and I failed every struggle. Picked myself up, and I didn't quit, and I ended up winning. Do you know how valuable you are to the kingdom of God? Do you realize just how important you are to His plan and His purpose for revival? It's not our responsibility, or let me put it this way, it's not our business why His grace has parked us at certain places. Sometimes we run ahead of that grace. See, the grace of God is His will. It's in His will. It's not in your will. It's in His will. The grace of God will always be there. If He tells you to do something, His grace, His provision, His strength, His victory, His empowerment will always, always, always be there in His will. And sometimes in our own plans and purposes, we try to run ahead of His grace. I don't like where He's got me. I don't like what He has me doing. I don't like this. I want that. I deserve that. I'm ready for that. And sometimes we run ahead and we fail. Thank God you failed, because it made you come back to His grace. Some people have enough natural ability that they succeed. In their view, they succeed. And they build things in the name of God that seem successful. But they're not in His will. Whatever you're going through. That's what I told someone. And I'll start closing here, I think. The rules of struggle are different for those who are obeying God and those who are only living in the name of God. I can preach a message to those who are living in the name of God, who serve God, go to church, but they make their own choices. They live their own life. But they have never submitted their will to the will of God. They submitted their life to serving Him, but they've never submitted their will to Him. Does that make sense when I say that? Because submitting your will to Him is a much more difficult life than just submitting your life over to serving Him. And so the people who submit their life to serving Him, they're wanderers. The grace is over here, but they wander over here. They feel purposeful. They feel successful. They're doing things for God. They feel achieved. God likes me. I've labored for Him. I'm good with Him. But when something hits them that they don't have an answer for, usually they will start believing God. In the name of God, I believe that I'm healed. I believe that I'm provided for. But see, they're not in His grace. His grace is in His will. That's where His grace is. Where His will is. And if you lived your life in your will, serving God, you can have a hard time finding where His will is. I thank God for praying in tongues. I don't know where I would have ended up if it wasn't for praying out the will of God in my life. How many thousands of decisions that I do good at because of the Holy Ghost praying the will of God through me for me. But if you're in His will, you live your life in obedience, in following Him, in submitting to Him. When that is your life, when you have given Him your will, then you're also in His grace. And when those pockets of pressure hit you, whether it be finances or physically or emotionally or whatever it is, when those pockets of pressure hit you, you can have trust in this. His grace is sufficient for me. I can walk through this no matter what the devil throws at me. It's a different rule than the guy, the normal church guy who runs around being good and serving God. Do you understand? You have better rules of engagement because you're in His will. You didn't put yourself there. He did. You didn't make yourself a target. He did. Well, God, I'm just being nice. You know, I preach a nice message. I like to see people get healed. I preach about the love of Jesus. I preach about God's fathering. I'm a good, nice preacher. I give my life to help people. I don't get to do things that normal people do. I give my life for God. Why is the devil so mean to me? That's just the way it is. Well, God, can you just make my path go around Him? See, the devil is on, has placed tests and trials on the road to revival. God can't move them. You have to. You and I have to walk through them. And your road to revival, you're on the same road as I am, I hope. Or I hope I'm on the same road that you are. You have to walk through your tests and trials just like I do. Just like Pastor Dave does. You have to face your pressure points. Because your calling is just as important as mine. You don't have to qualify. You don't have to have 50 years of praying in tongues to get there. 30, 40 day fast. Those are disciplines we practice. Those are parts of our life. But it's His grace. Now, what I'm trying to tell you. Pastor Dave went through a season where he heard angels singing. Remember that? And then he found out they weren't really angels. Remember that? Now, if I hear an angel singing, if I see gold dust falling, do you know what? I don't have to go through that. I already know. Oh, stop right there. I know who you are. Pastor Dave told me about you. That saved me probably 20 years of mistakes. The born again trail. The born again trail is a life changing, life altering message that has been lifted out of Scripture to show us what the Scripture really means. Just knowing the born again trail has helped me to discover probably 90% of other things, because if built on the born again, the revelation of the born again trail. Do you know how many years that saved me? The whole idea of a body of a church is that we get to jump ahead because of what other men have done or God has done with other men. So quit thinking it's too late. There'll be years before God will use me. It'll be years before I get that much prayer under my belt. There'll be years before I do your prayer, read your scripture, practice the message, the disciplines, all those things, worship, and get in His will and stay in His will, and let Him take care of the business of what you do, when you do, and how you do it. Because He will. His grace, you do the laboring, but it's His grace that does the laboring. You're with it. He's your strength. You're not alone in this. You don't have to fight on your own. You don't have to figure it out. Stay in His grace. Amen? Why don't you stand with me? We'll close in prayer. Father, I thank You. We are not alone. We'll never be alone. You won't leave us alone. We can't chase You away from us. We choose to be in Your grace, in Your will, every day of our life. I thank You that You truly are our strength. You are our empowerment. And we'll find everything we need in Your will. Thank You for believing in us. Thank You that through every test and trial that we walk through, we have Your strength to walk through it into full victory. And Father, I thank You for loving me so much. You truly are my strength. You truly are my hope. I trust You with my life. I trust You with everything. I give up fighting for my will. I choose Your will. Thank You for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You are released. If you'd like prayer, I'd love to pray for you. It'd be an honor. I'll meet you on the green line. God bless you.